This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The February WASDE and Crop Production Report were released today at 11. With the recap of the report, we join Rod Bain with the USDA.
What are some of the highlights from USDA's latest World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates? An increased global soybean production forecast fueled by a 2 million bushel month-over-month increase in Brazil's bean crop. Despite that, U.S. soybean exports are forecasted up 50 million bushels from the previous month, partly reflecting increased imports for China. The season-ending average price for soybeans, however, was lowered a quarter at $8.75 a bushel due to reported prices to date. U.S. wheat exports per USDA are expected to be at a three-year high, which in turn should lower domestic ending stocks to a forecasted five-year low. No change in the corn season-ending average price in February, yet of note, lower global ending stocks. And in domestic ag production, the all-orange production forecast this month was lowered 2% from January by USDA and down slightly from the previous year. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
In other ag news from around the world and the country, the coronavirus outbreak continues to make headlines in China and other countries around the world. What kind of potential effect will it have on the world commodity markets, though? Arlen Suderman is the chief commodities economist with the International FC Stone. He talks about the virus impact inside Chinese borders and says it depends on which part of the country you're talking about.
The area around Wuhan where this really was ground zero, I mean, it's like a ghost town. Nobody on the street, everybody staying home. That's where the travel restrictions are the strongest. And that's where we're hearing the biggest problems with livestock as well. Because everyone's staying home, because no one's traveling, that means feed doesn't get processed. Soybean meal doesn't get transported to the hog facilities, to the poultry facilities.
The virus outbreak has the potential to hit China's poultry industry hard.
We've heard reports of up to 100 million chickens at risk of dying just in the one district around Wuhan area. How much of those reports are true, it's very difficult to ascertain. But we do know that the producers of livestock and poultry are under tremendous stress right now, and that's creating a big demand for commodities short term. But if we have a lot of producers go out of business, a lot of livestock and poultry die, that in the long run hurts demand.
What does the current rise in Chinese demand for commodities mean for U.S. supplies? He says it depends on how price competitive American commodities like soybeans are on the world market.
Brazil has new crop supplies available. Their yields are coming in higher than expected. Our team in Brazil has raised their production estimate to 124 million metric tons. And a little bit of perspective, that's about 4.56 billion bushels. So they're outproducing us or getting to that point. So they have those supplies now available. It's at the port. We're very competitively priced.
However, the strength of the U.S. dollar against Brazilian currency is limiting the competitiveness of the American commodities.
The U.S. dollar is at two-month highs. The Brazilian real is right now at near record lows in value versus the dollar. So that means that their soybeans are much cheaper than U.S. soybeans right now because of currency exchange rates. And so buyers in China are going there. The other aspect of this phase one trade deal is the removal of some of the barriers. And Chinese officials are so concentrated right now on coronavirus, they simply don't have time to make those changes so that we can compete into that market.
Again, that's Intel FC Stone Chief Commodities Economist Arlen Suderman. In other ag news, cover crops seem to be showing up more and more across rural America. Jim Iserman is a field manager with a Soil Health Partnership. He recently gave a presentation on cover crop management in corn and soybean systems at the Wisconsin Corn and Soybean Expo. Iserman says the Soil Health Partnership is very interested in improving soil health practices across rural America.
The Soil Health Partnership is part of the National Corn Growers Association. We've been around since 2014, and we're funded by a number of grants from different organizations to help bring out soil health practices to the landscape. We're corn growers. We're primarily in the corn grower states, but we're out there helping gauge farmer interest in cover crops and how they can adopt these practices on their fields.
Iserman talks about what farmers need to consider when they're looking into a cover crop system for their fields.
Oftentimes that first step is really looking at reduced tillage. So we talk a lot about cover crops because they do such tremendous things for the soil, for the environment, for soil health, but oftentimes that first step is really reducing tillage, setting up your soil so that it's in a better situation to add those cover crops in. So sometimes that's 1 year, sometimes that's 2 years, but we've seen time and time again that the most successful cover crop adopters in corn and soybean systems are those that have already adopted no-till or reduced tillage practices.
There are multiple seeding methods when it comes to cover crops.
There's a lot of things out there, a lot of different innovative ways to get cover crops on the landscape. But the primary way is after harvest, going out, getting that seed, ideally in the ground in some way, using a drill or a planter, or maybe we're broadcasting it and incorporating it. But that's the number one way to get a good, effective cover crop.
Again, that was Jim Iserman with the Soil Health Partnership. And we'll move on and continue into state and local ag news following these messages.
When you think about planning for tomorrow, it may seem overwhelming. At Country Financial, we have a suggestion. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started. Because when it comes to solving the big challenges of tomorrow, you can start with simple steps today. With personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Country Financial, when you're ready to start, we're ready to help. Call me, Wayne Schaefer, at 498-5800.
Are fuel prices costing you a fortune? Area Diesel Service can help with agricultural diesel solutions modules. Over 1,000 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower, and these performance modules aren't just for planting and harvest. There are modules for medium and heavy-duty trucks and your light-duty diesel pickups. For details, call 800-637-2658 or visit the new redesigned website today by logging on to areadiesel.com. That's areadiesel.com.
M&M Service Company would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to their customers for their continued patronage over the years. Their customers are the foundation of their success, and without them, M&M wouldn't be where they are today. They are truly grateful for your trust in their company and look forward to serving your agricultural needs for many years to come. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
No one seems quite sure where the legend of George Washington and the cherry tree started. But one thing is for sure, February, the month of Washington's birthday, is traditionally cherry dessert month. Make your desserts even better with pure, natural, high-quality, farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products, topped with Prairie Farms whipped cream. For a healthy February drink, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
And we're back here on your Tuesday Afternoon Ag Show. One event to note about, more important, the 5F event the Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be hosting coming up on Thursday, February 20th, has changed locations due to the needing for more seeding due to abundance of RSVPs. The location change will now be at the Butler Community Building, used to be the Farm Bureau Building, so that means the 5F event scheduled for Thursday, February 20th, will now be held at the Butler Community Building, not the Farm Bureau Building in Hillsboro. If you need any more information or have questions, you can call Katie at the Farm Bureau office, 532-6171. Moving on now to state ag news. The hunters in Illinois harvested a preliminary statewide total of 740 wild turkeys during last year's fall archery turkey season. That total compares with the statewide turkey harvest of 738 in the previous fall turkey season. For last year's season, 22,728 permits were sold. That compares to 23,298 for the 18-19 season. The season dates were October 1st, 2019 through January 19th of 2020, and all 102 counties in the state were open for hunting. The top counties for the fall archery wild turkey harvest were Jefferson with 25, Knox with 23, Cass County with 20, Jackson and Randolph County tied with 18. Also, the 2020 Illinois Hunting, Fishing, and Sportsman's Combination licenses will begin to go on sale March 1st at 8 a.m., and those 2020 licenses will be valid through March 31st of 2021. Illinois 2019 licenses are valid through March 31st of this year. Licenses purchased prior to March 1st, 2020, are considered a 2019 license, and they will only be valid through March 31st of this year. So if you buy a license today, it will only be valid through March 31st. So buy those licenses to be good for a year on or after March 1st of this year. Moving on into other ag news in the local area, the U of I Extension Montgomery County Ag in the Classroom was presented a generous donation from the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Rebecca Livingston, Montgomery County AITC Program Coordinator, stated that Montgomery County Farm Bureau supports Ag in the Classroom's program in so many ways. Members serve on our Ag Literacy Advisory Council, and the Women's Committee volunteers at programs and events in the county. The mission of the Illinois Ag in the Classroom is to teach Illinois children agriculture's importance and vital role it plays in the lives in our lives and society. The Illinois Ag in the Classroom supports local educational and outreach efforts by providing high-quality, standards-based, scientifically sound agriculture information that can be easily integrated by teachers into existing classroom curriculum. Katie Wilson of the Farm Bureau stated that Montgomery County Farm Bureau understands the importance of educating youth about agriculture. Even though our county is very rural and farming is very prevalent, we realize that there are still students who have no exposure to livestock or row crops. We appreciate our county AITC program and wanted to support their efforts with this donation to keep educating kids about agriculture. Their support will allow us to educate students about the importance that agriculture plays in our day-to-day lives and to excite the next generation with high-quality hands-on educational experience in agriculture to students and teachers of Montgomery County. One last thing to note about soil and water interactions will be the focus of a soil and water management seminar that will be held on Thursday, February 20th at the Macoupin County Extension Office in Carlinville. Registration is $45 per person, will include lunch, and the registration deadline is this Friday, February 14th. And you can call the U of I Extension in Carlinville at 854-9604. That'll wrap it up for this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, that can be emailed to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Tuesday afternoon, February 11th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.